The first sin committed after Adam and Eve failed to believe the word of the Creator was the murder of our brother. The taking of life, if you will, of another person. Genesis chapter 4 this morning. Open your Bibles to the 4th chapter of Genesis. I read this morning beginning with verse 1 of chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have got a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain for the tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth in his countenance there. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. That's a sad story, isn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
I think it is. Thus, beloved, began thousands of years of the human race's careless attitude toward life. Toward life itself. And the responsibility of living what years we have are allotted by God in love for one another and respectful relationships with other human beings created in God's image. Amen? It all started right there, thousands of years ago. Turn back now to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Going back to the very beginning of things. I want you to listen carefully as I read verses 27 and 28 of the first chapter of the book of God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon earth. So, God created the human race and gave them the responsibility of creating more humans and controlling the earth he made for them to live on. Is that right?
That's right, yes, sir.
The human race's responsibility to take care of life. Mm. God's command, if you will. Not the elimination, but multiplication. Seems like we've got that turned around today. Hello? Seems like we've got that turned around today, doesn't it? As a race? On the planet Earth? I believe so. I want us to think this morning. Satan's every intention, of the acts of Satan, every single intention behind the acts of Satan is not the multiplication of God's image, but the elimination of God's image. Don't you see? Don't you see? He hates God because he knows what his own eternity holds for him. And he's going to take as many of us with him as he can. That's what this whole book is about. Satan's destruction of the image of God and God coming to save his image. You say, well, that's too simple. Yeah, it is. That's why we miss it. That's why we get all messed up, all this other stuff. You see, beloved, much as we hate to admit it, it's not all about you and me. It's not all about being straight or being gay. It's not all about the United States of America and Muslim terrorists. And it's not all about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. What is it all about? It's all about God and his holy image. Every human being since Adam and Eve's rejecting the word of God and Cain's killing of his brother in the garden is about destroying God's image. What better place to do that than in the church? Amen? What better place to do that than in the church? Making the church look bad in the eyes of the lost and dying world. Then the lost and dying world can truthfully say, look at how they act after how we do. Are you listening? Look at how they act. They say this and do that. At least we don't say this. We do that anyway. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's how Satan works, always has. Look at how they judge us. Look how they shrivel up and dry when we challenge what they teach and preach. A building filled with hypocrites is not a church, my friends. A building filled with hypocrites is not a church. Yep. just a little bit of anger or jealousy or prideful manner can infiltrate the body of Jesus Christ, and Satan will have accomplished his goal. And the image of God will have been profaned and desecrated. And if you don't believe that, you look in some history books and some of the history of some of the churches, including Baptist in America today, and you'll find there are so many church splits over not doctrine, but whether they have an indoor baptistry, or whether they have brick or aluminum siding. You believe me? And that's that. Here at Briar Street Baptist Church, bunch of old folks mostly, here at Briar Street Baptist Church, we have been singularly blessed as a family of peace for several wonderful years. Satan is not at all pleased to see the church without turmoil and division. That's not his plan. That's not his plan. He's trying everything he can do to disrupt, to bring inner turmoil, and to split up the peaceful church. Two powerful scriptures in Matthew's gospel bring this truth into the proper perspective. And I want us to go there this morning. The first is in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. It begins with verse 21. 5th chapter, Matthew's gospel, verse 21. Jesus speaking. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled with thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Say, wow, that's pretty stiff. Isn't it? This is the Lord Jesus talking. I say that's pretty stiff, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
I just wonder. I just wonder if we really think about that sometimes. Or except say something unkind to one another. Have I ever been guilty of that? Well, yes. Yes, I have. Maybe none of you have. But I think possibly quite a few of us have said things we wish we could take back. Don't you? Just think about it. That's all. That's all God wants us to do, is think about these things. But Jesus made it pretty plain how we are to act, particularly with our Christian brothers, let alone with our human brothers, non-Christians. All right. Here we find Jesus speaking in particular to his people. You know, when tempers or jealousy or angry words are exchanged between Christians, they are not to go directly to the Lord, but to the brother involved. Right? You know why? Because God says in many places when dealing with his people, I can't hear you. You didn't take care of it the way you're supposed to. I didn't hear you. Read about it in the Old Testament and Israel particularly. If you do what I tell you, everything will be great. If you don't, it's not going to work out. You hear God say that in the Old Testament?
Yes, sir.
You bet. Do you hear Jesus say it in the New Testament?
Yes.
Amen. God never changes. We do. God does. All right. It is guaranteed to be very costly to those involved because Jesus makes it plain that God does not even listen, let alone accept the offerings of brothers who hold grudges against one another. There can be no peace in the family until what God says to do happens. Until a problem is addressed. The father has no patience with children who do not believe his word. Oh, Genesis. Did God really say that? They didn't believe him, did they? They didn't believe God, did they? When he said, you can't eat the fruit of that one tree. Well, here we are today. Born in sin. Only answer is for God to put us a new heart, right? Like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again in the Spirit, Nicodemus. It's the only way you're going to understand all this. The only way you're going to do what I tell you to do. Because I have to be in you before you can do it. How many believe that? All right. Reconciliation is what the Father demands. Jesus is actually likening anger among the brethren to murder in verses 21 and 22 of this passage of Scripture. Read it again and pray about that. Let's conclude with the teaching of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 18. I think it's much better to go to the teaching of the Lord Jesus than some psychological stuff, don't you?
Sure.
I think so. I begin with reading with verse 15. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and you alone. If he shall hear, then thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, and take with thee two or three more, one or two more, then in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. For if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. The correct definition of this is the neglected thing once called church discipline. It seems that it has been abandoned by many churches today. Church discipline. A heathen was a lost man, and a publican was a crooked lawyer back in those days, what they called them. When a church member, one brother or sister, trespasses against another brother or sister, the first step for reconciliation is always one-on-one. Ordinarily, all you need to go and say, Mary Frances, I'm sorry what I said about you. Would you forgive me? Now, it'd be wonderful if we could say, and Mary Frances said, oh, brother, I forgive you. I know you were upset when you said that and you didn't mean anything by it. But if Mary Frances doesn't, I have done the right thing. And I can go to God, and God says, I hear you. Now Mary Frances has a problem. And that's better, Mary. I'd rather you have a problem than me. But you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's how it works. It goes no further. But then, there's a second chance. Take two or three people with you and go back. And then, if they don't hit you, you bring it to the church. You don't take it outside. You don't gossip about it. You don't tell some Christian brother about it. You take it to the church. The body of Christ. Pretty simple, really. Pretty simple. When a church member, when a brother or sister trespasses against another brother or sister, that's the first step. One on one. And you know what? To put it in our common day, it's nobody else's business. Really isn't. And that brings no result, then, you know, you go to the church. There are some here today that experienced this several years ago in my church. The point of this message is simply this. If we stay on God, it won't happen. That simple. If we maintain peace in our family, Satan will be defeated. Do you hear me?
Yes.
If we maintain peace in our little family here, Satan will be defeated, frustrated, and do everything in the world he can to mess us up, and I challenge him to mess us up if we do what God says.
Amen.
You say you've been braggadocious. No, I'm talking about the word. God's not fooled by Satan. We are. If we maintain peace in our family, Satan will be defeated in the only purpose, which is destroying God's image. He doesn't care about us. It's God's image.
Right.
Once we understand this, once we realize it's all about God and Satan's hatred, rebellion, and jealousy of the Creator and of His Son, of His Holy Spirit, and of His Word, and of His people, we will see that we want to have no part in these actions Jesus speaks of in these passages. I repeat, it's not about you and me, nor about being straight or gay, or about the United States and Muslim terrorists, and it's not about who the next president of the United States is going to be. It's about God. It's about His holy image. If we would just remember that, then our little church would be blessed, and God's family here will be a blessing to others, which is the reason for our existence in the first place.